Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, comedian and actor John Leguizamo's one-man show, Latin History for Morons, is hitting the Adrian Arce Center. He's educating audiences on the history of Latinos in the U.S. and their contributions to our society, much that's been erased from our textbooks. Most recently, he's been working on his directorial debut film, Critical Thinking. This is a film about a group of teens at Miami Jackson Senior High who formed a chess team and competed nationally with students from well-to-do schools. You can see the show Friday, July 12th to Sunday, July 14th. Here's our conversation with John.
The genesis of it, my son was being bullied in eighth grade, and first of all, I wanted to beat up the bullies, obviously, and I wanted him to beat them up. But I had a second thought. I was like, I can't bring more violence into the world, you know? I've always believed that violence is the worst form of communication. And so I wanted to weaponize my son's information, give him things about Latin culture to be proud of. And what ended up happening was that I was the one that was unmoronized and destupefied and undumbificated. And then I was like, "Why? I need to bring this out to all of America."
Did your son see the show? I wondered what he thought about it.
I told my son, I said, look, if you're uncomfortable with any of this or any of this bothers you, I will cease and stop performing. And he was totally cool with it. And he understood. I think he saw that I was making him the hero of the play because he was my hero. The way he put up with all this brutal punishment for those 2 years where he was ostracized, bullied on the internet, harassed, name called, hit, and survived it all, made him a hero to me, and I wanted to celebrate him.
You know, looking at clips of the show, and anybody who's ever had the chance to at least see that, you know, you are very professorial, if that's the right way to say it, as you're on stage, dressed like a professor. You even have a chalkboard, for heaven's sakes. And but you're basically talking to us about what you've learned about Latin history. How would you describe the show? What would people expect when they go and see it?
I hope to educate people in a funny way where they want to read the literature that I read, the books that I read, where people will want to go change curriculums and change textbooks to include our contributions. I mean, because the stuff that I found was so incredible. The fact that I found out that Latin people are the second oldest ethnic group in America after Native Americans, and that we have fought in every single war this country's ever had and are the most awarded minority in each and every war this country's ever had. And I'm talking about the American Revolutionary War, where 10,000 unrecognized Latino patriots fought. Cuban women in Virginia sold their jewelry, the hoop earrings and door knockers, to feed the patriots. And Galvez, General Bernardo Galvez, he was like the George Washington of the South, donated $70,000 worth of weapons to George Washington. And 20,000 of us fought in the Civil War, in the North and the South. You know, we'll go wherever they pay us. You know how we do.
You know what's so interesting is, like, you know, listening to a lot of different interviews that you've done, talking about putting the show together, is that you had to go out and learn this history. And, I mean, look, you've said things I didn't know, and I took history classes in college, and this stuff never was brought up. Was it hard to find concrete research?
The difficulty, which is crazy, that it's all out there because they're facts. The crazy thing is they're not in textbooks, not in my kids, not in my textbooks growing up in America, and not in any kids' textbooks right now. That's what's crazy. The difficulty was in culling the right pieces of information that would pique people's interest, that would make them hungry to research and to read. And that was my struggle. What are the pieces of history that would most light fire under people's butts to make them go out and buy these books?
Do you think that there is a push back against learning other cultures? And, you know, I think about it, you remember this back, it was in 2010, Arizona banned the teaching of Mexican-American studies.
Yep.
And that's a place where you have 30% Hispanic people living in that community. Do you think there's a pushback against wanting to expand and understand all of the cultures that live in this country?
Well, what's crazy is, why is our culture separate from American culture? We discovered this country, built it. I mean, most of it is named by us, California, Khalid Land, Nevada, Snowy Land, Colorado, Red Land, Florida, Flowery Land. New Mexico, Texas. I mean, they're all named by us. We helped make this country. We grew up and made this country and sacrificed for this country. We are part of the history. It's not another culture. That's what's crazy.
Do you think that if there was more in the history books, that there was more discussion, that people would stop seeing us Latinos as other?
Yes, and that's my push. Because my son would not be bullied if this information was in textbooks. If Americans knew that 500,000 Latin people served in World War II, if they knew how much we sacrificed to the making of this country, then I think the president would be hard-pressed to have this sort of zero tolerance to our immigrants. And the way he doesn't appoint anyone to his cabinet that's of Latin origins, it wouldn't happen. Americans wouldn't allow it.
You know, I was thinking about, and I mean, you're a little bit older than me, but I think we're both Gen Xers.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, you know,
just outing my age.
Just a little bit. But I was thinking about, like, what did you grow up watching? And I was thinking about what I watched so much television as a kid, cartoons or television shows, sitcoms, et cetera. And I was thinking, well, how many Latinos did I have to look up to? And I was like,
zero.
I was trying to think. Well, the only ones I came up with, all right, were
Ricky Ricardo.
Well, there was that. There was also Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter, if you want to call it that.
Right, who wasn't even Latin.
That's right, exactly. Ponch from Chips. The only cartoon I could think
of was Chico and the Man. Tony Orlando.
Yeah. But look,
he was Puerto Rican.
We're sitting here trying to figure it out. Like, we're trying to think. Did you have anybody that you can remember that you were looking up to?
Well, obviously, Desi Arnaz. I was reading all about him and how he pioneered sitcoms and created Star Trek and The Untouchables. You know, I used him as a pioneer, and then you know, I always try to find Latin heroes to build my self esteem. Cesar Romero, who created the Joker, but they were far and few between. You know,
there are more today, though, aren't there?
At least, a lot more. I mean, we have athletes, we have A-Rod, you have Cespedes, we have tons of Latin athletes.
But you know,
we've got actors. You have Benicio del Toro, you have America Ferrara, you have J-Lo, you have Mark Anthony. It's still not enough. We're almost 70 million people in this country, and we have so many people out there doing great things that aren't celebrated.
As you've pointed out before, you know, the business is still, there are not many Latinos in high positions making executive decisions.
Right, because less than 3% of Latin faces are in front of the camera, which is the smallest margin for any minority, especially with the numbers that we have in this country and the amount of talent we have. It's a crying shame. And then our stories, our original stories, almost zero. And I've been pitching Latin stories since I was 20 years old, and it's impossible to get it through the system because they just don't understand it. They say, well, Latin people don't want to see Latin people. I used to get Hollywood wisdom. Or they would say things like, Latin people don't want to see feel-good stories. I'm going, what? What kind of crazy research is that?
I'm talking with John Leguizamo. His show, Latin History for Morons, will be at the Adrian R. Center Friday, July 12th to Sunday, July 14th. You can find more information on our social media. It's at WLRN Sundial on Twitter and Facebook. Your career really took a big, big turn. It was going back some years now when you did Mambo Mouths. And it was the off-Broadway show.
My career totally changed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was an off-Broadway show. That's the show that you had to do in a hallway, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, because the same thing was going on. I was like, I'm pitching these stories and nobody's, you know, they don't get it. And so they put me in the hallway of a theater, of American Place Theater. And I had to be done before the main show started at 9. And I would go up at 7. And they would fold up seats to pick up my platform. And then all of a sudden I got this crazy review in the New York Times by Frank Rich. And all of a sudden in my hallway is John F. Kennedy Jr., Al Pacino, Sam Shepard, Arthur Miller. I mean, it was bonkers who was coming to see what I was doing. And then all of a sudden when it was on HBO, Latin people found me and they knew where to find me. And we found each other. And that was a beautiful happening.
I've heard you say there's a difference between artists and entertainers. Which one are you?
I hope I'm an entertaining artist. But okay. I'm definitely an artist because I got opinions and I put my opinions out there. I stick my neck out.
Do you see a new this new generation of performers, entertainers, comedians inspired by you, and they're doing stuff that you enjoy, you see, and you like?
Oh yeah, there's lots of great stuff going on there. Christopher Rodriguez, a playwright, comedians. There's lots of great work happening out there, and I think with the onset of the digital age, it's democratized things in a way that we don't have to rely on gatekeepers as much.
You grew up in New York.
Yeah. Jackson Heights, Queens.
Yeah, I wondered about when Latinos come to this country, when any immigrant comes to this country, you know, you assimilate, but is there a fear of losing the connection with your heritage? Was there ever any fear, or did your family really try hard to make sure that you never lost that connection?
Oh, my parents tried really hard. Bribes, punishment, you know, everything. You know, they did it all. My mom would always make me read in Spanish and you know, her favorite Colombian books, Platero y Yo. And so I had to read all this stuff to get my Christmas present. And, you know, it worked. I mean, I was able to keep my Spanish. And my culture, definitely Latin culture, Puerto Rican and Colombian, and all the other cultures that I grew up with helped form me as a comedian and the type of humor that I did. You know, I feel like my input into American comedy is because of Latin people. And I think I helped inject a much more emotional, much more aggressive, much more realistic comedy than the silliness that was going on in American comedy.
You were connected to a project, I believe, called Critical Thinking.
Yes.
This is a film that you were directing and starring, and this is a fascinating story about a group of teens here in Miami, at Miami Jackson Senior High. They formed a chess team. This is a group of kids from a low-income neighborhood, but they went and they competed nationally with students from—
They became United States champions.
Right.
And so I did this movie. I shot it. We shot it in Liberty City, Overtown, and one of the actors was originally from there, and it was amazing, man. I mean, great talent in Miami. We used a lot of Miami actors, a Miami crew. It was beautiful to shoot down there, and I had real chess players be in all the competitions, and they did great by me. And I'm so proud of the film. I'm almost finished. I submitted to Toronto Film Festival last week. I finished it June 20th. I'll be done with the last final cut of it. And that'll be it. And hopefully it'll have a big life.
You play the teacher, right?
Mario Martinez, yes. This incredible man who realized that there are these kids in the ghetto who don't want to play football, who don't want to fight, who don't want to, you know, be consumed by the ghetto, but they have no place, these ghetto nerds. And he created this elective where they could go play chess, and these kids fell in love with the game, and they had skills and talent, and what he gave them was the book knowledge that they needed to compete at a national level, and he was relentless.
How did you come across this project?
It was offered to me by two producers, Carla Berkowitz and Scott Rosenfeld, who fell in love with this project, and Harvey Chaplin, who fell in love with it as well. And they wanted to see this come to life, and here we are, 3 years later.
It's a fascinating story that so many of us down here have heard, and looking forward to that film because we've wanted to see it on the big screen. John, let me finish with this. Coming back to your one-man show here at the Arsh, this is a minority-majority community. I mean, this is a community made up mostly of Latinos from the Caribbean, Central, South America, et cetera. For you, when you come to a community like this, you know, does the message change in any way considering who you're talking to?
No, I don't. Maybe my reaction to some of the comments will. And maybe I'll get different kind of comments than I do across the country. I'll be ready to comment back and to deal with whatever's thrown at me. I know it's a much more varied group in Miami than it is across the country, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. You know, I've taken it all over the states and had incredible feedback from all groups and all Latin groups. So I can't wait. And, you know, I did it in Tampa and I did it in West Palm Beach before I opened up on Broadway. So I can't wait to bring the polished Tony Award winning show back to Miami.
And it's interesting. Your show is just a couple of weeks after the big Democratic debates. I mean, you know, this is like all politics.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know, I just want, you know, not to get too political, but I am curious as we go into an election, you know, what do you think, you know, the issue of immigration and how Latinos are going to be discussed in this, you know, in the next 15, 16, 17 months?
First of all, if I have to say, this president is creating the crises at the border. There wasn't a crisis. He created the crises. And by separating children and babies from families, this has never been done to any ethnic group except black people when they were forcefully brought here. And now this is the second group that it's happening to. It's a horrible thing that's happening. And then he takes the funding away from Central American countries that desperately need it, immigration policies that are real and workable and functioning, instead of creating a crisis and a blockage and zero tolerance. I mean, what ethnic group has ever been blocked? This whole country's been made of immigration. You talk to any white person, they say, "Oh, I'm of Irish descent. I'm going back to Ireland. I'm of German descent. I'm of Italian descent. I'm of Jewish descent," and they were all immigrants. They all were allowed to come here. Why all of a sudden a blockage and a zero tolerance to our immigrants?
And that is comedian and actor John Leguizamo. His show, Latin History for Morons, will be at the Adrian R. Center Friday, July 12th to Sunday, July 14th. Find more details on our social media, WLRN Sundial. That's our program for today. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening.